Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I am joined, as usual, by the full J-Squared contingent, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Hannah Farah in the screening room, and we are ready to rock and roll with today's program. So much is going on today. Let me let you know we still are having issues with Facebook. For some reason, the Book of Faces doesn't want the Hamilton Corner to be displayed for some reason. What's going on there? Nevertheless, we are live streaming on video streaming on the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. Right now, it's on. I got it up on my computer. We're also live streaming on Twitter. Yes, finally, I bit the bullet and got on Twitter. And there's some interesting things happening on Twitter. I actually have a guest coming up in the future program that Twitter was the first interaction between the guest and I. So we'll see what happens with that. That's coming up in the future. But if you're looking to follow me on Twitter, to follow the program, it is at Hamilton Corner on Twitter, at Hamilton Corner. And, of course, the most consistent and reliable way to catch the program is on the radio. If it wasn't for the radio, we wouldn't be here in the first place. So you can go to American Family Radio, AFR.net. Look for the locations where you can find your local radio station, or you can go to AFR.net and live audio stream there. No video on that site yet, but you can audio stream there. And we are thankful for all of the ways you follow the program. Our general manager for the American Family Radio let me know that there are a lot of people who listen via downloads. Jeff, you were talking to me about that. Podcast downloads is what I'm talking about. So I'm grateful to all of you who do that, even if you're not able to catch us live, you are downloading the podcast. So that is amazing. Podcasts are available wherever you get your podcast, whether it be Android or iPhones or however you do it. You just look for the Hamilton Corner and boom, you've got us there. Let me announce something that I tried to get in yesterday, but I didn't have enough time to do it properly. But I want to remind you that the Marriage Family Life Conference will be June 20th through the 22nd in Tupelo, Mississippi at Hope Church. I got a few messages of people that were trying to register. There were some technical difficulties with the website to register, but that has all been cured. So I want you to know you can go to the website and register now. And when I tell you this is an exciting conference, especially because of what is happening in our country right now, this is a perfect opportunity to be equipped. Not first and foremost. Let me say it this way. We're going to have as a keynote speaker at this conference will be Jim Warner Wallace, who is a former cold case detective who used his detective skills and applied that to the reality as to whether or not Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. And as a result, his introduction to the Christian faith was a result of an apologetics inquiry. And now he has become an apologist for the Christian faith. You do not want to miss that. Because he will be speaking in the main plenary session as well as in the Children's Apologetics Conference, which is a conference within the conference. How many conferences do you know you go to where they have already prepared an apologetics conference for your children? And let me also add that the registration fee includes lunch for each day of the conference. So the fee includes food. It includes the whole shebang. I mean, this is an extremely reasonable conference, and you don't want to miss it. We will also have Laura Perry, who wrote an amazing piece at The Stand today. She wrote about why a transgender person would sign AFA's boycott. Because what you don't yet know, in case you haven't been following, Laura Perry lived for 10 years as a transgender man. She's a biological woman. She lived as a man for 10 years claiming to be transgender, and that is until Jesus Christ entered her life and resulted in her recognizing who she was in Christ, which included her biological God-given sex as a female, and she is using her experience combined with the revelation of Jesus Christ and insight from his word to stand firmly on biblical truth. In this hour, we have Stephen Black, who is the founder of a ministry that enables people who are same-sex attracted to be delivered From that, he has a testimony as a man who for 35 years ago, was delivered from a homosexual lifestyle. He will be speaking at the conference. Bishop E.W. Jackson will discuss the roles of Christians in political engagement. Bishop Vincent Matthews will handle the pro-life issue. He's leading his denomination not only to stand for life, but to be on the forefront of the adoption movement that is happening in the country. Miki Addison will be speaking there. She will address the church's history of holding the line in every generation, how the faithful witness of Jesus Christ through his bride through each generation has enabled the gospel to get to our generation intact, and what we will need to do to ensure that future generations receive the gospel intact. And I also will be speaking at the conference. This is going to be an amazing event. If there's one conference you need to attend this year, this is it, because this is where the battles are raging. In our culture, in our day, the issue that is the Rubicon, if you will, the line of decision in our culture is, what will you do on the issue of identity and human sexuality? And so the theme for the conference is hold the line. If you want to come, go to urbanfamilytalk.com/conference, urbanfamilytalk.com/conference, and you can register right there. Registration is open. I would hate for you to delay and only to find out that the conference is sold out before you can register, because I believe this conference will be sold out because of what is being offered there and the extremely reasonable prices. Price that includes a family price, that includes food, lunches taken care of. And I'm taking as much time as I am to share this because I really believe I won't say a mandate, but it's imperative that you be here that for this conference. UrbanFamilyTalk.com/conference. It is the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference sponsored by the American Family Association and Urban Family Communications. You can register online now. Now, having said that, I feel like I got to talk like the Micro Machines man now. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Here we go. This is a chapter where these are the last four verses in this chapter. Wisdom is personified as if it's a person. So wisdom is taking on the characteristics as if wisdom is doing the speaking. And that is where we are. So here we go. Verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. This is wisdom saying, listen to me. Listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. That last verse, I'm going to read it again in the King James. It says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all who hate me love death. Well, right at the first few verses, the Lord, through his word, is conveying to us that wisdom, pursuing wisdom, is the means in which, or the means by which, one may live a blessed life. It says, hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. The King James says, do not refuse it. Hear instruction. And the word there for hearing doesn't merely mean give auditory audience to. It means hear auditory through your auditory capacity, listen to wisdom, hear wisdom, but internalize the wisdom for the purposes of living according to it. This is why I say all the time, the question for the believer is not how many verses you can quote. Of course, it's great to be able to quote multiple verses of scripture, but it's how much can we live? How much do we search the scriptures, and how much do we allow the scripture to search us? This is the question. Hear instruction and be wise, which presents to us the possibility that you can give an auditory audience to instruction and to wisdom, but not be wise. Why is that? Because you do not apply the wisdom that is being disseminated. You hear it and move on as if you hadn't heard anything. My mom used to say it this way, in one ear and out the other. You know, it went in one ear, but it wasn't digested, it wasn't internalized, it didn't take root. It wasn't consumed in one ear and out the other. But the Lord is saying through his word, hear instruction to be wise. Do not neglect it. Man, here is a key. Verse 34. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. The Lord is communicating here through his word that the means in which wisdom is made applicable and it's digested and it's applied to a life that is blessed is that there is an affirmative pursuit of wisdom on a daily basis. On a daily basis, waiting beside my doors. In order to have the fullest impact or the fullest effect of digesting the Lord's word and a consistent prayer life is that consistency. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got came from my pastor in New Orleans. When I was going to Bible school and I was studying Hebrew and studying Greek, my pastor told me, Abe, do not neglect your personal prayer time and your personal study of the word. Best advice. Why is that? Because here I am studying and learning all of these things. And unbeknownst to me, this is my own story. I'm not saying this is automatic for anybody else. But I found myself becoming prideful in when I would go to church services and we had to go to chapel twice a week. I found myself listening, not for the purposes of digesting. I found myself listening for no reason other than to critique. Oh, that's not what that word means. That's not what that happens. And then something radical happened for me. The Lord allowed me to develop a relationship with my hermeneutics professor. I was actually his teacher's assistant. And in class, he just stopped the lesson one day. And he started telling a story about how here he was, this well-credentialed professor, you know, fluent in Hebrew literature and Greek, teaching and all of these things. But he could not find a job. He was a pizza man, a pizza delivery man. And his pride, this is my professor admitting this, he said his pride caused him to not be willing to do what he needed to do to provide for his family. He thought he deserved to be in this professorship. Somebody should be willing to hire him. I mean, look at all of these degrees he has. Look at all these letters he has behind his name. He couldn't get a job. And one day, he had gotten into an argument with his wife at the time. And his wife told him that she couldn't take it anymore. And they were having a rough time, and he went to church. And the Lord resonated in his heart. And I won't say his name, but he became a close friend of mine. Even wrote a letter of recommendation for me for law school. He said, and the Lord resonated in his heart. Now when you gather with the saints to worship, listen with your heart. Do not listen to criticize. Now my professor didn't know that that's exactly where I was at the moment. But he said out of his own mouth, he realized that for whatever reason, if he felt like he was more qualified than other people, he had more academic accomplishment than other people, God chose his shepherds to do the teaching. There was a reason why he was in a position to listen and not to teach, because God had not yet cultivated the type of humility in his heart that was necessary in one who would be a teacher of future expositors of God's word. Man, he said that. I broke in class. Now I'm in class and I got my little books open. I got tears coming down my face, my little pages getting wet. You know what happens when your pages get wet and tears and all of that. And he didn't even realize that he was talking to me. And so after that, he and I became friends, and I shared with him my own testimony in my own struggles in this area, and he ended up ultimately writing a letter of recommendation for me for law school. But getting back to what the text says, blessed is the one who listens to me daily at my gates. In this fast-paced life that we live, where, you know, we have all these things going on, it's very easy to neglect wisdom. It's very easy for our Bibles to become placeholders on our mantles and our nightstands. But we need to seek wisdom on a daily basis. And the results of seeking wisdom, or should I say attendant to seeking wisdom, is that the Lord, through his word, will be able to cultivate the type of humility that was necessary. Through my relationship with my hermeneutics professor and continuously seeking the Lord in prayer, started a prayer meeting on campus, 6 o'clock in the morning, prayed with my professors. The Lord was able to cultivate the type of humility that was necessary that postures one for progress in the Lord's kingdom. Because the Bible tells us that the Lord resists the proud, but he gives more grace, mizon charis, to the humble, seeking wisdom daily that postures us for Maizan Kairos.
New York Senate applauds killing babies. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. On the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, New York Governor Cuomo signed into law a tragic piece of legislation filled with major assaults on life. Abortions will now be legal until birth for any reason, any reason. Not only that, but it removes protections for babies born alive after an abortion. That means they could be left to die after birth. This bill also redefines a person as a human being who has been born and is alive. Now a woman whose unborn baby is killed against her will won't be able to charge their attackers for murder. And this bill caused the New York legislature to erupt in cheers after it was passed. New York has banned capital punishment of despicable criminals, but it enthusiastically allows the murder of full-term infants. This is terrifying and tragic. Stay informed at lc.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The left has long had their sights set on our children, knowing that if they can indoctrinate these impressionable minds, they will control an entire generation. One tool LGBT activists use to brainwash kids is the public library program called Drag Queen Story Hour for preschool children. As one person recently wrote us when this came to his local library, quoting, "Drag Queen Story Hour is nothing more than the propagandization of children as young as 2 or 3 years old, where they are being served up to male homosexual activists garishly dressed in women's garb and being read to at the knee of these sexually disordered individuals," unquote. Sexual perversion being taught to preschoolers, and the church is largely silent. Where are pastors? Where are Christians who are willing to stand up and protect these little ones? As we remain silent, we are complicit in their destruction. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In Donald Trump's Super Bowl interview, he said it's time to get America out of endless wars around the globe. He's right. According to the Smithsonian, our military is now deployed in 80 countries, if you can believe it, in 40% of the world. We have no fewer than 800 military bases around the world. Since 2001, we have spent $5.9 trillion on 6 continents. Right now, we have 138,000 troops stationed abroad in places like Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen, and Pakistan, all hotbeds of Muslim extremism. The president is right that it is time to bring most of our troops home, especially from Syria and Afghanistan. The president does not want to see any more American blood spilled in the wastelands of Syria and Afghanistan, and I don't either.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. Shall we proceed to the foolishness du jour? Well, actually, we're going to start with something that happened yesterday. I played the audio for you, and this is really a follow-up. When Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska said that, and I guess before I get there, let me say this. The president is going to be doing his State of the Union address tonight. I haven't decided yet whether or not I'm going to live tweet during it. I'm going to watch it, but I haven't decided yet. So I guess you can see if I am. I'll tell you, though. I'm thinking about it, but I'm kind of leaning against it. I don't know. I hadn't decided yet, but you can check it out if I decide to do that. But this evening, the State of the Union address, 1 week delayed due to the government shutdown, but it will happen tonight. And this, I mean, it couldn't be set up any more clear for the president. I mean, if I were president for the day, I would, in addition to making my appeal for the border wall, I would do a comparison and a contrast between my vision for America and the Democrat vision for America. I mean, you see the field of Democrat candidates that want to run for president in 2020. They're doing it because they think President Trump is vulnerable. And so I think this will be a great opportunity to show the clear contrast. And I made this point yesterday. I didn't plan to do it, but I'm going to do it now. Spend a little bit more time fleshing out the point I was making, because I found it very interesting and noteworthy that the Talking Snake media, the mainstream news media outlets, ABC, NBC, CBS, and then CNN and MSNBC added to that cadre of networks, they refused. I mean, you have a governor of one of the United States of America who is in a recorded interview. And the fact that he's a governor is enough. But you add into the consideration that his occupation prior to becoming governor is a pediatric neurologist. Who am I talking about? Governor Blackface Northam from Virginia. He is a pediatric neurologist who nevertheless, out of his own mouth, said, well, you know what will happen in these situations with the late term, he said abortion, but I'm going to say baby murder, that the mother is going to deliver the baby. He said the woman, I said mother, is going to deliver the baby. And then they will have a conversation and they'll decide what's going to happen. Folks, that is an advocacy for infanticide. No doubt about it. And the thing is, the thing that's so diabolical with this is this really isn't new. Because, you know, I was kicking around some stuff. You know, all the way back in 2007, 2006, former president, then Chicago State Senator Barack Obama, voted against a Born Alive Infant Protection Act in the state of Illinois. I mean, and he tried to lie about it. And, of course, he got cover from the mainstream media. But after the fact, one of his spokespersons had to admit, well, you know, they were right. President Obama is lying about it. And he tried to be slick and cool and say, well, it was a bill on the floor. No, sir. State Senator Barack Obama was the chairman of the health committee in the Illinois State Legislature. And there was a bill, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, that mirrored the federal Born Alive Infant Protection Act. The initial bill didn't. There was an amendment proposed in this committee that included 10 members, that included the chairman, which made the 10th member, that passed 10-0 on the committee. Then, when the bill was identical to the federal legislation that passed, Barack Obama voted against it and killed that bill 6-4. That's a fact. You can go and look that up. He spoke in great detail about this whole idea of murdering babies and allowing babies who survive abortions to be basically to let him die. Then when he's running for president, well, that's above my pay grade. Oh, you lions, child of image bearer, you're an image bearer, but you sure lie. You lie worse than a rug. And so what's happening in recent times, what these people have all believed for a long time, is just being exposed. And I think that these media outlets, they know that the American people, even, you know, your everyday, you know, Democrat voter, I don't believe the everyday Democrat voter supports, you know, post-delivery baby murder. In fact, the statistics support that assertion. But these news media outlets, these talking snake outlets, they know the American people do not support that. So instead of letting the people, you remember the old adage, I think it's Fox News came out, that you report, we report, you decide. Instead of reporting and letting the people decide, they just choose, we just won't show the people. So that's why you had lots of people say, no, Governor Northam didn't say that. And those of you who listen to this program, listen to American Family Radio, and say, wait a minute, we heard the audio in his own words. Well, the reason why you're having these arguments is because the media outlets that these folks rely on didn't even report on it. Not at all. And I think they realize it's political. It is political suicide, because the American people will become apprised of just how extreme the Socialist Party of America is, and they will run away from them. So they're trying to conceal that. Well, getting back to Senator Ben Sasse, you know, he said, you know, I'm going to call for unanimous consent, which is the Senate, United States Senate terminology, that will allow a measure to get beyond the filibuster act, get beyond the normal committee processes, and allow every senator to go on record. He said, this is common sense. This is common sense. That this is an opportunity for every United States senator, all 100 of us, to show whether we're on the side of life or we're on the side of death. I want you to hear a little bit from Senator Sasse, and I want you to hear a source of objection to this measure. This is clip number one.
In a few minutes, the United States Senate is going to have an opportunity to condemn infanticide. 100 United States senators are going to have an opportunity to unanimously say the most basic thing imaginable, and that is that it's wrong to kill a little newborn baby. Every senator will have the opportunity to stand for human dignity, to stand for the belief that in this country, all of us are created equal. Because if that equality means anything, surely it means that infanticide is wrong. Frankly, this shouldn't be hard. Politicians come to this floor every single day and talk about how they care for the poorest or the weakest or the most marginalized members of our society.
Mr. President.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
With all due respect, Mr. President.
Senator from Nebraska.
To the senator from Washington, the bill that we're talking about before this body tonight is because New York and Virginia, New York already, and Virginia in debate are having a conversation about removing exactly these protections. This debate is about infanticide and infanticide only, and this is a sad day for this body. It shouldn't be controversial to say that a newborn child deserves to be treated with dignity and humanity. It shouldn't be difficult to say that babies who survive an abortion shouldn't be left to die cold and alone on that table.
He's absolutely right. Now, before I blow my top, the objector was Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington State. And did you hear the basis of her objection? She objected because there are already laws that prevent infanticide. Did you hear that? Well, you know, Senator Murray, can I ask you a couple questions? Can you tell me why then the state of New York and its governor would want to light up the Empire State Building or to light up buildings in New York in pink? What are they celebrating? If killing a child up until delivery is already prohibited, what are they celebrating for? You want to answer that? You want to answer me that one? What are they celebrating for? You want to know why, folks? And the media is talking snakes, but these politicians, they are disgusting. Because if there are laws that prohibit it, then what is Rhode Island just passing? What are they doing? What did New York just do? They're just playing intently weeks. They're just high-fiving and celebrating just for fun, even though it's not having any impact. No. You want to know why? Because the current late-term abortion bans only ban one method of killing a child. It doesn't ban it in total. It just says you can't kill them that way. But they want to lie. The law already prohibits infanticide. So I said, no. You know why? Proverbs chapter 8 told us, those who hate wisdom love death. Those who hate wisdom love death. And they have no problem lying about it. No problem lying about it. If there already were laws that stopped this foolishness, New York wouldn't be celebrating their efforts over the last decade. Decade! They have tried for 10 years. Think about this. 10 years. Year in, year out, year in, year out, year in, year out to get this legislation passed. And finally, they were able to do it. No, Senator Murray, you are not only mistaken, you are lying. Because I know you know better. I know you know better. But here's the rub, folks. The thing that New York has done, it's not new. They're just one of the latest to do it. Thanks to Jeff Reed's lovely wife, Ann Reed. I encourage you to go to afa.net, The Stand, and look for a piece called New York, Let It Be a Motivator. You want to know why I'm recommending that to you? Because Ann includes in her article a link to the Guttmacher Institute. That if you search their statistics in the link, you'll find that there are 20 states in America that already allow late-term abortions, just like New York. You have an entire list. I have the chart right here. I've highlighted it up. These are just the latest ones to do it out loud. But they've been doing this all the time. You know why? People hate wisdom, love death. This has been going on in our country under our noses for 46 years. This has been happening. Yeah, California? Yeah, check it out for yourself. I'll hand this to Jeff so he can post the link to our various places to where you can see this for yourself. Folks, this should rend our hearts. This should rend our hearts. How can we fancy ourselves, you know, a nation? As Senator Sass said, people come up onto this podium day in, day out, and talk about their desire to protect the most vulnerable among us. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Yep, we're going to allow babies right up until delivery. You know, Delegate Kathy Tran from Virginia. If the mother is dilating, oh, yeah, my bill will allow for that. Governor Ralph Northam, after delivery, we'll decide. You know, we'll keep the baby comfortable. We'll keep them comfortable. Folks, this is unconscionable. This is unconscionable. And for Senator Murray to stand up, you know why? Because they love death. President Trump has a job to do tonight. And this, folks, this is beyond partisanship. Show the two different visions for America. If you ask me, they will sound kind of like, I've set before you life and death. If you hearken diligently unto the Lord your God, all these blessings, 14 verses worth of blessings will befall you. But if you refuse to hearken diligently, there's a prescription for what happens. Folks, this is, I'm almost lost for words. Senator Dianne Feinstein said, quote, "This is just the latest attack in the decades-long Republican effort to eliminate a woman's right to control her own body," end quote. No, Dianne, there's another body. Hello? There's ample opportunity to control your body before you conceive a life. You know, and it's one of those things, and I feel like this is a moment because many of us are just waking up to this. You know, when a lot of these things happened, to be candid, I wasn't an adult, and then sometimes I wasn't even alive yet when some of this stuff has happened. But how does that make you feel when you realize that almost half of the country allows babies up into the third trimester to be murdered? What? Our country has been inundated with immorality, so much so to where we almost have a calcified consciousness in our society, to where nothing moves us. Nothing moves us. There's a call, and this did not originate with me, but some people who recognize the shedding of innocent blood in our country to call for a national day of mourning and repentance on February 23rd. They didn't ask me to do this, but I would encourage you to go to dayofmourning.org and check it out for yourself to see all of the details. Folks, how can we progress? And the thing is, again, the overwhelming majority of the population doesn't want babies murdered after they've been delivered. Even the ones that support baby murder. And I think we also have to resist the temptation to bargain over life, you know? Well, at this point, maybe so, but at this point, no. It's utterly ridiculous. I want you to listen to these words from Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, newly elected senator, in response, well, actually prior to the interruption by Senator Patty Murray. Listen to Senator Josh Hawley, and it's in clip number 3.
Most of the Greeks believe that most humans were born to be slaves, and that their lives were utterly worthless. Oh, they had a democracy, of course, but it was the democracy of the few.
You can hold it right there. I'm going to come back to that audio. I didn't realize we didn't have enough time to run that audio in full, but I want you to listen to Senator Josh Hawley, and then on the other side of the break, we'll listen to that audio clip. We will take phone calls, and I also want to show you the latest embarrassing moment for T-Bone Booker. It's a bad one, folks. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. And I urge you to not reflexively respond based on any type of political talking point, but to invite the Spirit of God to search you concerning this issue, because as far as I'm concerned, this willingness to kill babies is a full stop for me.
The Ministry of Preborn meets abortion-minded women right where they are. When a young mom sees her baby on ultrasound, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
This mom chose life for her baby.
She's been such a joy. Her name even means rebirth and sort of being raised up from the ashes. I now see my daughter, and I cannot imagine my life without my happy, lovely, joyful, smart baby, and I'm so grateful.
Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare, and they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Ken Bellingham owns a bakery in Edmonds, Washington. The other day, he found himself in the middle of a national firestorm. It seems Mr. Bellingham was selling cookies decorated with the message, "Build that wall." He said it was meant more as a joke than a political statement, but you can imagine what happened next. A liberal customer saw the message, suffered a microaggression, promptly lost her cookies. Anna Carrera posted a picture of the treats on her Facebook page, called the cookies racist. A nearby business said pro-Trump cookies must not be tolerated. Mr. Bellingham initially apologized, but then he unapologized, said he's got a constitutional right to bake and decorate cookies as he sees fit. And it turns out a good many Americans love his Build That Wall cookies. He's been selling dozens. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Most of the Greeks believe that most humans were born to be slaves and that their lives were utterly worthless. Oh, they had a democracy, of course, but it was the democracy of the few, ruling over the many. Romans took the same view. They kept most of their subjects in chains. They infamously killed children they didn't want, leaving them to be exposed on hillsides or desert places. Romans had a republic, but citizenship was for the few. The strong ruled. Most lives, they thought, didn't matter. This has been the general rule of the ages. And so it has gone down through the years. The whole edifice of American liberty depends on a very different belief, a belief as simple as it is powerful, that every life matters. We believe, and it is our pride to believe, that every person has dignity and worth, worth that is not given to them by the strong or the rich, that does not come to them from the state or the city, that does not depend on place of birth or social status, but is theirs by right, because of who they are, human beings created in the image of the living God. That is our faith. And against the drift of history, it is a revolutionary creed. It is a creed that inspired the early Christians to rescue those infants the Romans left to die and bring them up to be free.
Senator Josh Hawley, ladies and gentlemen, he's absolutely correct. But we have crossed the threshold to where we have entered the place to where we are now, and I've said it before, Nazi Germany, where we have a socialist party in America that has combined their willingness to annihilate those who they deem to be subhuman, regardless of their humanity, regardless of the scientific fact of their humanity, and that is combined with their desire to confiscate and redistribute the resources of a society. How is that any different than the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany? It's sickening. It's sickening that this is happening here, but we will open the phone lines. If you would like to be a part of the program, anything we've discussed during this show today, during this show, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number to call again is 888-589-8840. And as the callers are lining up, we got to venture over to T-Bone Booker. And if you're listening to me saying, T-Bone, I thought his name was Corey. You got to get the show from yesterday. Get yesterday's podcast. And you'll hear all about old T-Bone. But I'll say it this way. Corey has imaginary friends. Well, in his latest attempt to grab the spotlight, I guess I should call him by his full name. Spartacus T-Bone Booker. Spartacus attempted to secure for himself another Spartacus moment where he tried to set a verbal trap for Miss Naomi Rao. Who is that? That is President Trump's nominee to fill the vacant seat on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals that is vacant due to Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, Naomi Rao, who is a stellar candidate, and I may go into some of her qualifications after I share with you this little exchange between Ms. Rao and T-Bone, where for some reason, and I'll let you guys decide for yourself why this is the case, but T-Bone seems infatuated. I mean, he cannot ask a question in the Senate Judiciary Committee that doesn't have to deal with sex. Listen to Spartacus T-Bone and his attempts to trap Naomi Rao. It's clip number 4, please.
You know, Senator, I think, you know, civil rights and equal protection of the laws are two essential values in our system. And if I were to be confirmed as a judge, I would firmly uphold that.
Have you ever had an LGBTQ law clerk?
I've not been a judge, so I don't have any law clerks.
I'm working for you.
I'm to be honest, I don't know the sexual orientation of my staff. So I take people as they come, you know, irrespective of their race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. I treat people as individuals. Those are the values that I grew up with, and those are the values I would apply if confirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. He's like, let me get out of here. That's the perfect example of one of those Snickers commercials. Want to get away? T-Bone wanted to get out of there, boy. T-Bone wanted to get out of there. Want to get away? Yes, I do. Sir, let me get away, sir. I have made a fool of myself effectively, and now I need to get away, sir. Why is that? You know, T-Bone? First, Naomi Rao has never had an opportunity to have any law clerks. You know why? She's never been a judge. Yet. Here's a question. Have you had any LGBT law clerks? You can see him putting his hand on his hip. Have you had any LGBT law clerks? Never been a judge, man. I ain't had the chance to hire any law clerks. Then, this next question. Have you had any LGBT co-workers or employees? Didn't he say employees? Any employees? Have you had any LGBT employees? He's like, man, you know, T-Bone, normal people don't run around asking people, hey, you know, what do you like to do in your bedroom at night? Nobody does that. In the real world, now in the make-believe world of T-Bone, see what I did there? Because see, Spartacus T. Booker, that's his new name. Spartacus T, he likes imaginary worlds. He likes to make things up. See, in his world, there's always this, you know, this qualifying question about intimate physicality. He's like, you know, I don't really know what they do in private.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like, he's like, let me get out of here. And this, and again, guys, this, he wants to be president. Huh? This guy, you want to be president? I do not think so. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But to the phone lines, I promise I would take some calls because I can go longer on Spartacus T. We'll start in the great state of Texas where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
How are you, Brother Hamilton?
I am doing well personally, but I am grieving for our nation.
We are too. At our church 2 weeks ago, our pastor was grieved to tears. Mm. And he asked for, of course, this is more than what I was going to do, but he asked for congregational prayer.
Mm.
And we prayed for Amen. New York,
Amen.
Virginia, and all the babies that it's going to be affecting, you know.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, what the reason for my call, before, help me if I'm wrong, wasn't the abortion subject was, it's not a baby until the baby is born.
Yeah. Yeah, Mary, you're absolutely right. New York's most recent legal change redefined humanity, redefined personhood to be limited to a baby once it's born. It was a radical change in the New York State Legislature's statutes because it also affected its criminal law statutes that no longer allow for any prosecution for the death of a preborn baby. So when you have the circumstances, and I've prosecuted some cases like this before, if you have like an intoxication-related car crash that results in a death not to the mom who's carrying the baby, but to the baby, previously you could still prosecute that case as an intoxication manslaughter. No longer in New York. If a woman is assaulted physically and she happens to be pregnant and it results in the baby being murdered, you cannot prosecute that in New York anymore. So the facts are, just as you have stated them, New York state law has changed to where a person is defined as a human being with legal protection only at the moment that is post-birth. Folks, this is unconscionable. This is unconscionable, but this is where we are. And I'm so thankful that your pastor was sensitive to the Spirit of God and is shepherding your local assembly to cry out on this issue. To cry out on this issue. Back to the phone lines we go, however. We'll go next to Texas, where Audwin is on the phone. Audwin, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your service day in and day out. I listen to you coming home from work every day, and you're right on key every day. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you, and how much all the people out there appreciate you, Brother Abraham.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Glory to God is all I can say. Go right ahead with your comment or your question.
Yes, sir. Got a comment today, and like I say, I listen to you every day, day in, day out, about all the craziness that's going on in the world. And I talk to people every day, and they ask me, why do you think it is? And my go-to answer is because I believe as a nation we've turned our back on God. I was reading in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 30 this week, and it nailed it to a T.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read it real quick. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways to do evil. They disobey their parents. They do not have understanding or fidelity, no love, no mercy. Mm-hmm. Even though they know what's right, they just can't do it because God has allowed their minds to become depraved.
Alma, thank you for sharing that. And that, folks, is, if that doesn't frame for you the necessity of sharing the gospel and making disciples. And notice I said sharing the gospel and making disciples, because that is what is happening. And while there is still a remnant here, there's still the opportunity to work while it is day. We must be about the Father's business. But he's like, the scripture lays out plainly what happens when the people reject God. They become futile in their thinking, which means their reasoning capacity is gone. Does that not describe today? I mean, you don't want to talk about a post-truth culture. The very people who accuse Christians of being anti-science Bible thumpers are now trying to change literacy, linguistics, and science all to fit a desire with no supporting scientific evidence. I mean, this is where we are. This is where we are. But back to the phone lines we go. Next to Alabama, where Bill is on the line. Bill, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abraham. I appreciate it. I really enjoy your show. I listen to it as much as I can when I'm heading home from work. I just had a comment about, women are clamoring for the right to control their own body and their destiny and making decisions. And they do have that right, but they also have that right prior to conception. But even more importantly, they have an obligation prior to conception to control their own body. Mm-hmm. And as they make decisions and have sex and conceive a baby, then they've kind of thrown away that right and lost that obligation that they should have held on to. I feel like women are kind of treating babies in the womb as a slavery situation almost. They're held captive, and they can control them, and they can let them go, they can let them free, or they can kill them.
Bill, I thank you for your call and your comments. And I just want to add that, you know, it is women, but they lots of men are doing this too. I mean, Ralph Northam. Barack Obama, I mean, politics, you name it. And, you know, these women aren't conceiving babies on their own either. But the facts are, and it's just what you said, and your analogy to slavery is spot on. Why do I say that? Because the reason why chattel slavery was advocated was because they referred to people, Africans, those who hailed and descended from Africa, as subhuman. That's exactly what's happening with babies. They argued initially that they were not human. And then when the acknowledgement that they were fully human, it's like, yeah, but so what? And that's what's happening with the abortion. Yeah, we know they're human, but so what? Folks, now here's the difference. At least with the, I won't say at least. Part of the thing that contributed toward the Christians being able to fight for abolition of slavery in our country and in England and around the world was because you had a visual representation of the evidence of the bondage, where the cries of the slaves were heard. Who's going to hear the cry of the innocent baby? Who's going to hear the cry of the silent screams of the babies? Babies can't march on Washington. They can't lobby politicians. They can't fly politicians to Puerto Rico during the government shutdown. No. They depend on those of us who have not rejected wisdom, who understand the importance of life. I want to try to get one more in. We'll go to Oklahoma, where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for holding as long as you have. Go right ahead. You have 30 seconds.
I just wanted to say thank you for letting us know about the February 23rd date.
Yes.
And we are a depraved nation, like the person stated from Romans, and that's our responsibility. We can't ignore it, or we join in that. And our pastor talked about this is where we are outraged. We have minimal things we get outraged about, but this is what we have to outrage, and we have to act. And first, we have to repent.
Amen, Mary. Repentance is America's greatest need. Before we get to anything else, we need repentance. Though we do not deserve it, Lord, have mercy on our nation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.